Hello and welcome back to another episode of LMS Cast. Today I've got a special guest, Brian Hogg, coming all the way from Ontario, Canada. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing good. Brian is a big player in the WordPress community. He's also created his own WordPress plugins and he's created online training, and he's a man of many interests and passions and enjoys life. So we're going to In this episode, we're going to get into Brian's story a little bit. We're going to get into his products, which have to do with events. And we're going to talk a little bit about how to integrate events into a learning experience and, you know, what Brian's plugins do and how you might benefit from them. And Brian also is just about to release, by the time you hear this, he will have released a course about professional plugin development. But first, Brian, thanks for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, tell us a little bit about the mystery of who you are, because when I first met you, you're a man of many interests. There's the electronic music. You had a history in some kind of bingo thing.
yes.
And then you came up in the WordPress community, and you know, it's similar to me. You create a premium WordPress plugin and that sort of thing. So, but what's I guess let's start with the bingo thing. What is the bingo thing?
So that was one of the first, I guess it was a startup before startups were called startups. It was a way to learn client server development over the internet. So something, you know, I was about 15, I think, when I launched it. And so my mom, obviously, lived with my mom, suggested that, you know, why don't you do a bingo game? Because obviously you have the client who's the person playing bingo and the server that's feeding the numbers and the cards and everything else. So launched that, had a couple of people that grew to 4 and 10, and they told their friends and eventually got up to 800 or so simultaneous players. And this is back in the late 90s. So it took like an hour to download the thing. So yeah, there was a really cool community that built up around that. It had IRC type chat inside. You could do /join. You could have different rooms. So it was a really cool experience where people would play for like 10 hours a day. And really enjoy it. So, and it just made some money off the advertising that you can do within the app itself. So yeah, that was really cool. Intro to technology and business all in one.
That's awesome. At 15, I think that's a common experience for the listener out here. There's something in the course creators or the creative type or the entrepreneur type where they just make stuff and they just try things out, and you know, when it works, it's pretty fun and it's cool, but sometimes it doesn't work.
And you don't know until you try, right? So you can get a sense when you talk to people. Otherwise, you really don't know for sure until you put it out there.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you also have some podcasts and you do some, content around the community you live in, and also, you're into electronic music. So tell us, it seems like you use the web to really, you know, accentuate your passions or build community around them or teach around them or draw other people together. What's the mix that makes up Brian Hogg?
So yeah, I mean, well, I guess we'll start the smaller one, electronic music. I don't create music. I just enjoy the genres. So I actually went in person to a couple of conferences in Vegas and in Amsterdam and just learned a lot about, learned as much as I could, and was wondering if, or tried to figure out a way to use technology experience to help get people get paid what they deserve, and you know, get music recognized so again they can get paid what they deserve when the music's actually played. So the podcast was really just an educational tool where I wasn't making much progress and actually revolutionizing the industry. So I'm just like, you know what, all right, let's create a little podcast, get some big names on there that I met through these conferences and through other people, and just hopefully, you know, put it out there, and things like how to release your own music, stuff like that. So you can definitely check that out at paidformusic.com, and those episodes are just kind of there and for anyone who wants to listen to them. And I've still got my kind of finger in the pulse of that, but as a business thing, it's not the top kind of priority. But yeah, in terms of the local community podcast, that was on Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, which I lived in for years, and I'm really big in the community there. We also do, like, I've co-started a freelancer or consultant meetup about 3.5 years ago. That's grown to about 700 members or so. So the podcast is really an extension of that and running the WordPress meetups and events and stuff in Hamilton. So yeah, it's neat to mix the online and the offline and just try to build a community wherever there's a need, right?
That's awesome. Well, I just want to highlight what you did there when you went to those conferences in, was it Amsterdam and Vegas?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then you leverage that experience and you built podcasts around that and made connections and stuff. You got out of the building, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And one of the things I see course creators run into sometimes is they get so into the online world that even something like podcasting, even if you're still home, you're still like reaching out outside of the bubble and you know, you're still sharpening the saw, following your passions, getting better at stuff, networking. Podcasting can be a super powerful medium. So it's, and especially from like an SEO perspective or just an inbound marketing perspective, if all your content is locked behind a membership site or an online course, it's a lot harder for people to find out about you. So it's good to do things like podcasting and blogging and so on.
Yeah. No, definitely. And then, like you said, getting out of the building, that really what drove the latest course that I did. Because I thought initially, I'm like, well, this stuff's, you know, it's pretty straightforward. Like you can find a lot of the stuff online. So why would anyone be interested in a course? But actually getting out of the building, going to WordCamps, speaking with other developers and getting a sense for the questions they had and the fears they had about, say, launching their own plugin, really just was kind of eye-opening. I'm like, oh, you know, like, and some of the technical stuff where it's like you developed a plugin, you're a developer. What do you mean you have questions on setting up the sales platform or setting up some of the automated marketing stuff? And just hearing those questions and concerns and trying to help kind of made that, you know, made it clear that there was a need for like that. But had I not gotten out of the building, I just would have been, you know, just assumed everything in my head as to what questions or concerns people did or didn't have. So that was huge, huge part of the research factor that you just can't find by searching online or not talking to anyone.
Yeah. I like to say the information age is over and it's all about the integration age. So, I mean, I have a similar story. One of my first courses, I built a free how to build a WordPress website course. Part of the reason I did that is because I was like just painfully looking through YouTube channels and all this stuff, trying to figure it out myself. And then I kind of curated it. I, you know, went to meetups, I did things, I figured it out. And then I put it all into like one package. Last time I looked, there were like 10,000 people in that course. It was a free course. And I used that to, nice. That free course to help build up my agency in the early days. People would get in there and realize, oh, there's a lot here. Maybe I'll hire a professional. How about that guy whose head's talking at the bottom of the video? So, but yeah.
That's exactly it. Actually, we did an online webinar for our freelancer group, similar thing, right? So yeah, they can go through and they can see how to set up a WordPress website and it was free. But yeah, it definitely, they kind of get hit a point where they're like, oh, there's a lot of stuff to know. So either if something I can help with, great. If not, I try and refer it to someone in the community who can help them get their presence out there. So yeah, it's a great way to build up that trust. I think it's a big part of it, right?
Yeah. Another metaphor I use on that is when I was a kid, I remember I went out once into the forest to build a house or a little fort. And I started stacking logs into, you know, square shape. But then I realized, you know, there's really a lot that goes into building a house, even a tree house that I'm not even really prepared for. So, but yeah, that's one of the cool things about, you know, there's so much nuance to the built world around us and digital and physical and stuff like that, that there's just really an unlimited amount of things that people can teach and things that people can learn. Well, let's talk more about your course, and then we'll circle back to what you do with events. So the course is called Making Pro Plugins. Is that correct? How do you say it? What's the title?
That's correct. Yep. Absolutely. Making Pro Plugins.
So what's the elevator pitch for the course?
So it's if you have a plugin, maybe that you've developed for a client, or maybe you've had developed for a client, if you're not a developer, and you just kind of see need to get this plugin out there, but you're afraid of the launch process and maintaining it and the support and the marketing and all that good stuff. This course will basically help you do that. So it doesn't teach you how to, there's a lot of great courses on that and that have been out there over the years and how to actually program a Word plugin. It does go through some of the technical of, you know, integrating software licensing and automatic updates and all that good stuff. But the crux of it is really the getting over the fear of launching, actually getting it launched. You know, by the end of module two, you have your pro plugin out there, and then getting a free version out there and growing it. So that's what the course is all about.
That's fantastic. I think that's what's another really cool thing about that is just that sometimes to launch a business or of that kind, but it could be another kind. It could be like a dental office. Like, you may be a great dentist, but you still need to figure out how to like run a practice. Or you may be a great engineer or developer, but you need to, there's a lot more. That's only in my, the way I look at it, I always go back to this quote by Peter Drucker that in business, there's only two things, marketing and innovation. And the innovation is like, okay, that's the engineering, that's the coding, that's making it work. But now you got to market it and sell it and support it and all these other things. So that's really cool. So how did you, I know you got out of the building, but what kinds of things did you start hearing from people that made you realize that maybe you should build a course or that there was a need?
Well, I mean, not only, so a lot of it was around the fears of launching. Like, most people were thinking, okay, if I put the plugin out there, I'm just going to get buried with support. You know, like I'm going to release a bug. I'm going to take down someone's, and I'm going to break the whole internet, you know, and everyone's going to sue me. It's a horrible thing, right? Which, you know, and then I always say, I'm like, look at Jetpack recently, right? They had version 4.0, which took down millions of sites. And then 4.0.1 still took down millions of sites. And then finally 4.0.2 fixed it, right? So it's like, you know what? Like, it can happen, but you just need to be there and respond. And, you know, don't push an update and never test it and then run out of the building for a week. That's probably not a good idea. But otherwise, you know, most of the time you tested it during development and it'll be pretty good to go. So a lot of it was getting over that fear. And I heard that over and over again from a couple of presentations I did on this at WordCamps and just talking to different developers. And then some of it was just the technical process, right? Like, oh, I can never remember the SVN commands to actually update a free version. You know, why can't it just use Git? So there's a video on, you know, integrating Git and SVN and just, you know, little videos that you can refer to every time you have an update. And then some of the technical integration of setting up the sales platform and setting up automatic licensing and what your options are for that and automatic updates. So yeah, just a lot of it was just hearing all these different questions and this one over and over again and just not seeing any resource that really brought it all together. And a lot of it was, I'm very thankful to talk to a lot of different plugin developers who have been doing this a lot longer than I have and have much bigger plugins than I have. And just, you know, being that encouragement and saying, yes, you know, like, you're definitely create a course on this. And because you've been doing it maybe for a little less time, you remember what it was like a little better to start, you know, like, and what it was like to start and building it on the side kind of thing. So, yeah, it was great to get that encouragement and also some additional ideas for content and whatnot that I could include. So, yeah, it's been a great process over the last few months to get it built and looking forward to getting it out there.
That's awesome. Well, how do you... how did you come up with like the buckets for the sections? So this is like an instructional design question or a curriculum type question. You have like getting started, and then you have preparing and launching the pro version, then adding licensing and automatic updates, then preparing and launching the free version, and then keeping plugins up to date, getting more paying customers, handling support. Like, how did you... like in the swirl of like the 107 steps, how did you create those buckets or modules?
A lot of back and forth.
Okay.
For sure. Just coming up with ideas. And I eventually started, I had it in, I think, an Evernote note or something and was like trying to rearrange it there. Eventually moved over to Trello so I could kind of drag and drop and do that. But a lot of it was, yeah, a lot of back and forth. You know, at first I had the free version first, but then it just was the flow wasn't really right. And because if you've already got a plugin, you might not be sure what the free version might be. You might not even want to do a free version necessarily. If it just doesn't fit right with your plugin, or maybe you just can't because it doesn't rules of the WordPress.org repo. So you might not be able to do a free version at all, right? So I'm just like, oh, cool. Okay, I'll do pro first. And then that started to feel a lot better in terms of flow, right? But it was a lot of, from dragging and dropping and editing the Trello cards and figuring out where stuff can go, trying to be as ruthless as possible and take stuff out if it wasn't going to really need it to be there. I can always add some stuff later. Otherwise, it would just never get launched, right? So that was a big thing as well as editing. And I'm glad I was part of masterminds where they were just like, could offer feedback. And we're also like, I challenge you to take what you think you need in there and then take out 25%. can you do that, right? I could, yeah, actually. I think there's some stuff that doesn't need to be here, at least for the first version. So it was a lot of back and forth. And it can feel like you're doing a lot by having that outline, but until you actually start recording and getting a better feel for how the content is kind of coming out. It's a big part of the work, but it's good to just start getting some actual scripting and you really start to see whether the flow is there and if you're missing something or you've got too much.
Yeah, it's important to be flexible. And for those of you listening, if you're not familiar with it, Trello is a great project management tool. It's like it has all these lists. You can drag and drop things around, and it's a great way to like brainstorm. But I like what you're saying. After you get going, it doesn't mean your outline is locked. Like, okay, I'm going to move this entire thing higher in the course, or I'm going to move this lesson around, or after I've recorded a lesson, I can still be the ruthless editor and go back and chop, 25% off.
Exactly.
So that's really cool.
At least I made that decision before I recorded the 25%. So
yeah. I think we all kind of intuitively know this for the the book writing or publishing world, but making an online course, especially if you're not just doing a little topical skim, it's going to take some time, and that's a iterative cycle or process. So
everyone I've spoken with who's done video courses of a similar size has said that, right? Like one that just launched recently, he was working on it since July to come up with the outline and figure out what the kind of project would be that forms the core of the course and stuff like that. So yeah, it can take time and it's a process, and but once it starts to get locked down, then it can come pretty quick after that.
Well, there's a group of people who listen to this that are, what they teach is technical in nature, like what you're doing here. How much of what you did was screen sharing, slides, and talking head? Like, what was the ratio?
There's no talking head.
Okay. So if you guys want to see
it's one, either slides or screencasts.
Slides or screencasts? Okay. So if you guys want to see what Brian looks like, come on over to the LMS cast on YouTube and you'll see the talking head. But if you're listening on iTunes.
I might do one similar to what Wes Boss did for ES6 and just do like a little intro 1 minute video or something that's a talking head. So.
Oh, like the kind of the commercial for it, you mean?
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's good to do.
That's cool. When I did my first WordPress course, I would put my head really small, like down in the bottom. And I got two types of feedback. One type of feedback was, it's really annoying to have that talking head down there. And the other feedback I got was, I feel like I know you. Like, or when I would meet them later or talk to them later, they would be like, I feel like I know you because I've seen you like talking all this stuff. But it's funny. Super.
Yeah, no, you can't. Especially that's why I think the commercial is good to do. I've actually convinced another course creator recently, because he did a little slide based kind of commercial, and I'm just like, no, do you have a camera? Like, can you do an in person thing? And it totally just you can see like that they that they're a person that they know what they're talking about, and that builds a little bit of that trust. So that's good.
Absolutely, I actually saw a. I'll search for it while we're talking here. I saw an SEO course made by somebody who had a really nice talking head commercial on the front end of it or whatever, but it was mostly, the course is mostly technical in nature. Nice. Well, let's shift gears and talk a little bit. In order for you to teach this course, you did the thing yourself. Like, so you have some plugins that you sell called Events Calendar Newsletter and Events Calendar Shortcode, right?
Yes.
So in my past, I've done a lot with the Events Calendar Pro by Modern Tribe. I know there's other event calendar systems out there. For the course creators out there, many of them are often integrating, they may have an online course and then they may have like live events that are separate, like big ticket items or whatever, like separate part of their overall offer. Or part of the course itself may include online, like specific time meetups through something like Zoom or Skype or GoToMeeting or whatever it is, or it might include actual in-person class time or workshop time. Mm-hmm. And that's, some people call that, that's one application of the word blended learning, where you're blending the live and the passive stuff together, both in person or off online and that sort of thing. But tell us about the Events Calendar Newsletter. Like, what problem were you solving there for the website owner who has an event calendar and they're publishing these events that are happening?
Yeah, totally. I mean, a lot of it is errors that come up, and it's through like no fault of the person who's creating the newsletter. It's just that it's super easy to get the title wrong, the date or time wrong, the link to the event wrong, the venue details wrong, or the link to that, right? Like, there's so many elements that come into it. And you usually want to format your newsletter in a different format than you do on the web, right? So you're not just copying and pasting like a whole list of your events and throwing it into the newsletter, right? So you're piecemeal copying little links and details and everything else, or retyping it and oftentimes mess it up. So, I mean, I've made that mistake, and then either people have corrected me or it's like they come there at the wrong time, which is really bad. Or, you know, and really what prompted it was someone else was creating these newsletters and they were kept messing up the time of our events. And like, they're volunteers, so it's not like I was super angry, but I'm like, oh, like, it's just, what's happening? Are you doing this manually? And he's like, yeah. So we cranked out that first version for his specific use case. And so that was the main driver, so that, you know, if you're creating a newsletter of your upcoming events, you can have all the details you want in there, and you're not gonna mess up the date, time, link, title, details, anything, right? So it's a great time saver and, you know, headache and nervousness, because you can't take an email back. If you send a newsletter out and it's got some bad information,
right,
it's out there. You're going to have to now fight fires to try and correct anything, or people don't notice, and then, yeah, they show up at the wrong time or go to the wrong event, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's a huge efficiency boost. And the shortcode part of that plugin, what that does is that allows you to like move your events portably to different locations. Is that right?
Yep. So that was a separate, or it's a totally separate plugin, but they're sold right now through the same website. And yeah, it's really just because the free version of, and it's just for like the events calendar newsletter, the event calendar newsletter plugin supports a whole bunch of different WordPress calendars, but the, and a couple of themes, but the events calendar shortcode is really just for the events calendar by Modern Tribe. And their pro version has some shortcodes, though not with as many options and stuff as this one does. But this was really to fill that gap between, there's a free version, there's a pro version with some like a few extra options and a nicer design. But it's really to fill that gap, because the free version of the events calendar doesn't have shortcodes that you can use. So yeah, just lets you pop it wherever you need it on the site, which is nice.
Yeah, that's really cool. So if you were using a learning management system, you could, you know, port your events lists, or, you know, you could put them in interesting places like sidebars of a certain course or in the lesson content. And that's the beauty of shortcodes. And at Literal Mess, we have a lot of shortcodes and people move stuff. It's always like amazing, like how creative people can be with like moving pieces around. So that's awesome.
And you can filter it by category, or some people actually use it to show details of one specific event, because like you said, right, it could be part of their LMS and they might be event. And then they just use the short code to kind of pull in those details. So they're not, again, manually typing or copying and pasting that stuff. So yeah, no, it's served a great need and a lot of people are using it. So it's great.
Very cool. Well, what's next? Like, what's next after you launch your course? Do you plan on like doing a different course or staying with that one for a while? Or what's your plan? Because you're a creator.
I'm not sure.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be hard to stop. I mean, I've got Pressnomics is coming up in April, heading to the first little bit of MicroConf just to say hi to people and then flying up before that starts, and then a trip and then a family visit after that for a couple of weeks. So there'll probably be a bit of downtime. But I think one course that could come out of this as a next step would potentially be growing it outside of just a WordPress plugin. Like perhaps making it sort of like a standalone SaaS out of your plugin. A lot of people I've been talking to have seen this as a need. And there are some that are just so obvious. It's like, this doesn't need to be like, if it's a project management system plugin, like obviously this doesn't need to just be WordPress. And to have that as a requirement that you need a WordPress site to do project management doesn't really make sense, right? So I think that could be a potential next course, but I'm just looking forward to getting, you know, more feedback on the course content, probably adding and tweaking stuff that's in this course, and just see what people are looking for and asking for. So I've gotten some ideas already on like more technical ones as well, but I'm really liking this almost marketing business growth, getting over fear side of things. Quite well. It's probably about 90% of the work, I would say, of doing a plugin business. The technical stuff is not trivial, but it's definitely a huge marketing and getting your stuff out there is a big part of it.
Well, how did you get so that you could live in both these worlds, the technical world and the business world? Because I see that kind of as a unique skill. Like, how are you the engineer and the like marketing or entrepreneur CEO type too? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know. I've always described myself as the most social computer nerd you'd ever meet. And I'm just not one to just stay and code. And I struggled with that actually for a long time to want to, like, I've been developing since I was 12 and would spend countless nights just coding and hacking on stuff and whatever. And I just kind of started to realize it's like, I like getting out of the house and talking to people and not spending all my time, you know, just sitting at the desk. It's great to spend like, you know, some chunks of time just messing with stuff. But that just kind of came and evolved over time. And definitely struggled with it for a while because I'm like, oh crap, I don't know the latest JavaScript technology. I don't know the latest whatever library, you know, that and development technique and everything else. But even without knowing that, you know, if statements are still if statements, loops are loops, you can still create some awesome, valuable, time-saving stuff without being this like epically amazing developer. And just being that, you know, a bit of the writing on the wall where, I guess, just being a pure developer without any real thought of why you're building what you're building and the business case behind it and everything else is kind of going down a bit, you know, like I know a lot of very talented developers that either have been let go or, you know, because they're just not, they're 100% focused on the code and aren't looking at the business stuff. So just all that together have kind of made it where, okay, yeah, I do like the social aspect a lot more than just sitting on my own for hours a day. And so it really built from there to kind of focus on the marketing stuff. And it's a lot of fun. You know, like I missed it from the bingo days, I guess, building and marketing products, as opposed to just the consulting side of things. It's really cool.
That is really cool. And I just want to highlight something there that to be the best in the world at something, I've heard that, you know, you're like in the top 1%. Now, if you combine two things like engineering and business, you really, when you combine them, you only have to be in the top 25%. Right. And then the insight I have talking to you is that you bring in a third circle into the Venn diagram, which is the social component, the getting out of the building component, the listening component, And that just makes you like super, you know, powerful. And it really just opens up the world or really your mind to be able to solve problems in interesting ways for people and to teach people. So that's really cool. I admire your journey.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it starts getting to the point where the only person who you're beating is yourself. You're the only person you have to get out of your own head sometimes, right?
Well, yeah, then the competition's not stuff gets you done. The competition's not so hard anymore. So
or it's a lot harder.
That's true. It depends. Well, awesome. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show, Brian. It's Brian, if you want to find out more about him, and there's links to all his stuff, you can find him at brianhogg2gs.com. And where else on the internet do you want to send people to, Brian?
Yeah, not really. brianhogg.com. It's kind of the hub now. And yeah, transition from bhconsulting.ca, like Brian Hogg Consulting, to just me, because I have no desire to hire people anytime soon for custom stuff. So yeah, brianhogg.com has all the social links to the course, podcast, all that good stuff.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.